The Office of Personnel Management's Inspector General wants to dive deep into the agency's $2 billion revolving fund. He can't afford to do it. Patrick McFarlane made his case to House lawmakers yesterday. He wants to take a small chunk of that revolving fund to pay for increased oversight. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us now with details. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, why does Patrick McFarlane want more money for investigating this fund?
Well, he says his office needs about $6.6 million to really do some real oversight of this fund. Now, OPM uses a revolving fund really to provide and HR services on a fee-for-service basis, such as background investigations or to run USAJobs.gov website for the rest of government. McFarlane says the IG's budget is about $3 million today, which isn't nearly enough to root out waste, fraud, and abuse.
Please be assured that our Office of Inspector General is at the ready to jump deep into all of the programs financed by OPM's revolving fund. Based on evidence and intuition, we know there are extremely serious problems. We already have several projects in high-risk areas that we are eager to begin, such as an initiative to closely examine the Federal Investigative Service Program Office and determine whether there are deficiencies that may be affecting national security, as well as an audit of the pricing methodology used by Human Resources Solutions.
And McFarlane says the money wouldn't just benefit OPM by finding fraud, waste, and abuse, but actually it would benefit the entire government. He says because every major agency buys services from OPM, increasing oversight would have that trickle-down effect across the rest of the government. And additionally, this made the House members happy yesterday. The extra money wouldn't come from appropriations, but actually OPM's customers, McFarlane says. Agencies would pay an extra $3.35 per $1,000 spent with OPM to fund the IG's work.
Our anticipation is the first year, probably, but not for sure at all, that we would spend possibly $1.5 million to get things moving. There has to be a plan in place, which we've already started working on, and we have to move aggressively to get people trained.
Now, interestingly enough, this was part of the White House's proposal to Congress in its 2014 budget request sent in April. So obviously there's a lot of support already behind it in the administration. This was really the first hearing before the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce, where they laid out why they need it and how it works.
All right, Jason, I have a question that's kind of obvious and nobody seems to be asking. Why does OPM have a $2 billion revolving fund in the first place?
Well, I think that's one of the questions that the hearing was looking at as well, because it's not just about giving IG more oversight resources, but does OPM really need this revolving fund, and why are they offering what many would say are commercial HR services? One of those people who said that yesterday quite strenuously was Linda Brooks Ricks, the co-CEO of Avvu Technologies. Now, Avvu offers similar, if not competing, services with OPM, and Ricks, in the past, has been an outspoken critic of the personnel agency. But she says OPM is unfairly competing with private sector services, and that seemed to resonate with lawmakers. Rick says there are several reasons why OPM's decision to offer HR services and products is a conflict of interest.
OPM violates the Competition Contracting Act, illegally asserting OPM products may be purchased through the Economy Act and therefore non-competitively. OPM duplicates GSA 738X, Federal Supply Schedule, and adds layers of waste in the form of excessive fees. Where GSA is capped at a service fee of not to exceed 0.75%, OPM openly states that its fees range from 8% to 12%. OPM also abuses its role as portfolio manager for the HR line of business. It exerts its role as advisor to agencies to steer contracts exclusively to federal shared service centers. This illustrates the dual identities of OPM, one as regulator and the other as a for-profit business. As a for-profit company, OPM is a systemic reason the federal government HR costs are skyrocketing.
Now, Rick says private sector companies have reduced their HR staffs by 21% and lowered the cost per hire for each employee by 28% over the last few years. But meanwhile, in the federal sector, they've increased their HR staff by 41%, and the cost to hire per employee is 12 times that of industry, Rick says. Now, Charles Grimes is OPM's chief operating officer. He disagreed with the assessment by Ricks. He says OPM relies on private sector companies to provide many of these services and has the checks and balances in place to ensure there is no conflict of interest. Grimes also says OPM has taken steps across all of its HR services to offer better and better services and be more in tune with the private sector offerings. He describes ongoing changes to the Federal Investigative Services.
We are undergoing a transformation in our FIS operation to bring more automation into the process. We are looking to increase our timeliness through changing from batch processing to real-time processing. We're looking at increasing our quality by providing enhanced data validations and real-time information with the field agents as they conduct their work. We're improving our data security and so forth. So we are taking steps to improve and streamline that process.
Now, OPM also is trying to address some of those concerns that the IG has raised most recently. Grimes says the investigative service just released its annual report and detailed in greater transparency than ever before its price structure, which in the past, that's an area the IG has said was a shortcoming of OPM's.
And, of course, FIS stands for Federal Investigation Services, right?
Exactly.
And we're speaking with Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. Do House lawmakers seem supportive of the Inspector General's request?
I think they do, and I think part of this hearing was to understand why the IG doesn't have the funding in the first place and what would they use it for, and I think McFarland was able to explain that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a bill or a provision in another bill to address this change. And because OPM's IG doesn't need new appropriations, they're not asking for more money, they just need approval from Congress to use some of the money in the revolving fund. I would tell you it's a pretty non-controversial issue. But lawmakers are keeping a close eye on the revolving fund just the same. For instance, Congressman Lacey Clay questioned Grimes why the revolving fund has a $379 million surplus, or in private sector speak, that's the dirty word in government called profit. Many times agencies with revolving funds are allowed to have surpluses, or as we call them, profits in the private sector, because it helps pay for instance, future technology upgrades or other capital investments. And Grimes says that's exactly what OPM is using the reserve for, just in case they have to add more technologies or in case they have to shut down a service, they need some money there to be able to do it. That still concerns both congressmen across both sides of the aisle. Now, Blake Fahrenthold is the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on the Federal Workforce. He says the limited IG oversight calls into question whether OPM is managing the fund efficiently.
Last year, Inspector General McFarland told the committee his office had been flooded with requests from OPM to audit or investigate various aspects of the revolving fund. In April, the IG found senior OPM officials had used their position to give preferential treatment to revolving fund vendors. In May, Inspector General McFarland informed the committee of an ongoing investigation in which a revolving fund contractor used deceptive practices to avoid fulfilling certain requirements under its contract with OPM in order to maximize profits. At the time when agencies are furloughing workers to meet payroll, questionable business practices affect the entire federal government. Each month seems to bring another confirmation of the waste within the revolving fund.
Now, Fahrenthold didn't say what would come next, whether he would introduce a bill or be more hearings or whether, that there'll be what the next steps are to get this legislative proposal from the administration going forward. But I think, as you can tell, $2 billion in the fund, that's OPM provides a lot of work for agencies. I'm sure the committee will continue to be paying close attention.
Well, Jason, listening to all this, I see really that they were looking into four separate related items. First of all, does the IG have enough money to get its job done at OPM? That's one. Number two is this revolving fund itself. Why does OPM have it? How big is it? Number three is OPM's own performance, which came up. And then the fourth one is whether OPM is engaging in activities that are better left to the private sector. So that was really kind of a 360-degree view of OPM yesterday.
In many ways, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that the members had two concerns that came out and whether or not the IG has enough money. Because as you heard Mr. Fahrenthold said toward the end there, we hear more and more about different examples of allegations of waste or abuse or fraud. And if this is just the tip of the iceberg, what else is waiting below it? And I think that's why the IG is making its case to say, hey, this is why we need your help immediately.
All right. That's Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. As always, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.